Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Matthew chapter number 8, and we kicked off last week our annual theme. We called it Next Level. For those that weren't here last week, you can find that service. I believe it's archived on our church Facebook page if you'd like to go back and watch that. But the idea on this is challenging us as individual Christians and as a church family not to grow complacent and cold in our Christian lives, but to continually be seeking to grow in our walk with Christ, in our journey, in our spiritual lives, to go to the next level. I mentioned it last week. I don't mean this as some prosperity gospel mumbo jumble of, you know, if you give this amount of money, God's going to take you to the next level financially and you're going to get rich and all. And God can choose God. It is God that gives you the power to get wealth, and God does bless certain people with that gift, and with that gift comes a great responsibility. But it's not about, you know, this is the year when nothing goes wrong, we're all going to the next level. That's not what we find anywhere in Scripture. And the Bible says, take up your cross daily and follow him, talks to us. But the idea of, I think one of the greatest dangers and one of the greatest to a Christian and to any church, and one of the greatest tendencies to any Christian and to any church is that of complacency. It's to grow cold. You see it all through Scripture, don't you? Those that were at one time excited and fervent, and then they grow cold. The seeds in the Bible talks about that they received the word and then the roots dried up. And it's so easy for any of us to, if we've been saved for any length of time, to grow cold and complacent to the things of God. To where our Christianity, our religious life, if you will, it just becomes exactly that, a religion, a routine, and not a relationship. And we just start going through the motions. And that can happen to any Christian, and that can happen to a church. And so the goal this year is to challenge us. I believe in some ways God has equipped and really positioned our church in some ways to go to the next level in our influence and in our impact, and possibly even numerically. We've seen, I told you last week, in metrics and measurable metrics, which isn't always the exact way you can measure God's blessing, but in measurable metrics, the last several years have been some of the most fruitful years in our church history, and we're grateful for that. But I believe that God, I think tangibly, maybe does want to take us to the next level. And I'm believing by faith that God doesn't want us to have less impact for the gospel in Orange County and around the world, but that he wants us to have more. And I believe that God may be leading us in that way. But even beyond that, for us individually, going to the next level in our Christian lives. And so this morning, we continue, and for the next four Sundays or so, we're going to be in a series entitled Next Level, really kind of building that theme and challenging us, highlighting and challenging us to go to the next level in certain Christian attributes in our lives. This morning, the challenge, the message title, if you will, is Next Level Faith. Next Level Faith. We're going to study what is recorded in Scripture as some of the greatest faith in all of the Bible. If you had to guess, if I said, okay, we're going to study the greatest faith found in the Bible, if you had to guess what character that might be or what passage that might be, try to think, and you don't have to answer it out loud, but what passage, well, I already told you what passage we're turning to, so I ruined that spoiler, didn't I? Most of us might think Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is known as, we call it sometimes, the Hall of Faith chapter, a chapter that's all about the great heroes of the faith in the Bible. And Hebrews 11, we might think that's where we would find next level faith. We might think of characters like Abraham, who had great faith and God used him to begin the nation of Israel. We might think of someone like Moses that had great faith and went to Pharaoh and led the Israelites out of Egypt. We might think of someone like Daniel that trusted God even when he was thrown into a den of lions. What about the three Hebrew children? They showed great faith, didn't they? Threatened with their life for living for God. And what did they say? God can deliver us, but if not, we're not going to deny him. We're not going to reject him. What about the three of your children? We could think, and you could go on and on and on. Those that had next level faith. Queen Esther, who risked her life for her people. But you know, the one we're going to study this morning is none of those people. In fact, the person described by Jesus as having great faith and maybe more faith than anyone he had found in Israel was not even given a name in Scripture. We're going to look in Matthew chapter number 8. I want you to read verse number 10 aloud with me. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. I'd encourage you to follow along as we study God's Word this morning. If you're following along on a tablet or a phone or a device of that nature, I'll be reading from the King James Version. If you'd like to follow along and read aloud with us, Matthew chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 10. Let's read that verse aloud. Ready? Begin. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." No, not. What an amazing verse. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He was amazed. We talk about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Here, it was amazing faith. He marveled. He was amazed. He was impressed. He was taken aback. He was amazed at the faith that we're going to find in this passage. And then he said here, by the way, it's only recorded that Jesus marveled twice in all the Gospels. Two times. One time, he marveled at the unbelief of his people in Mark and in chapter number 6. And then the other time, he marveled at the belief of this man we're going to study today. Twice Jesus was amazed, once at a group of people's unbelief, and once at a man's belief. And then he says to them, "Verily," that just means truly, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." I haven't found anybody with this kind of faith. You know what I would call that? I would call that next level faith. Jesus saying his faith is on a level I have not seen anywhere else in my journeys, anywhere else in Israel. I've not found a faith like this. By the way, the phrase great faith is only used twice in the Bible as well. Both times refer to this man. The other time when the story is recounted in Luke 7. There is another time in Matthew 15, Jesus said of the Canaanite woman, "Great is thy faith." But there's something special about this man. Great faith, that phrase only used twice, both times referring to this story right here. And this morning, I want us to think about how strong is our faith. What is faith? The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. To simplify that, I think the easiest way to say it is faith is believing without seeing. To believe something that you've not seen. We put faith in things all of the time. We put faith in things we've not seen. I flew on an airplane this week and flew to the Midwest. And you know what I did? Without seeing the pilot's license, I believed I had faith that the airline would not allow a man into the cockpit that did not have a pilot's license. I believed without seeing. Without having seen the people that built the plane and not knowing anything about building a plane, I put my faith in the builders of that plane. I believed without seeing that they knew what they were doing to build a giant aircraft that could take me 20,000 feet in the air and get me to Oklahoma and back. I believed without seeing. And that is what faith is. And he said, this man's faith was on another level. Let's begin at the beginning of the chapter. We'll read the whole story and then I'll give us a few attributes or characteristics of next level faith. I'm going to ask you to ask God to challenge you in your heart to grow in one of these areas. Let's begin in verse number one, chapter number 8. When he was come down from the mountain, Jesus just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's come down from the mountain. Great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. By the way, I don't have time to get into all of this, but that's beautiful because you didn't touch lepers. Lepers were those that were sent out of the camp. They were the outsiders, the outcasts. And this shows us that Jesus loves the outsiders and Jesus loves the outcasts. And the one thing you couldn't, they couldn't get close to people because they weren't supposed to be touched. We know that Jesus, we're going to find out in a minute, Jesus can heal without touching, but he chooses to touch the man to show people my love is for everyone. And he touches him saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, right after this, Sermon on the Mount's done. This next man may have heard the Sermon on the Mount. Notice verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him A centurion is a Roman soldier that was a high-ranking military leader. They're called centurions because they were over a century of soldiers. They were over 100 soldiers. So this is a man that has 100 soldiers under his command. A centurion comes beseeching Jesus, verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, paralyzed, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion, by the way, again, a Roman's home was considered in the religious Jewish law unclean, so you couldn't go into the home. And what is Jesus saying? The leper's considered unclean. There's nothing unclean with me. I make it clean. The centurion's home is considered unclean. Jesus says, oh, I'll come into your home and heal him. And notice what he says in verse number 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall he cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a picture of Jesus saying there's going to be people on the outside coming to heaven that, and then those that you expect from Israel not coming. He's showing how Gentiles are having greater faith in him than Israelites are. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And it continues on in verse 14. It says, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, Peter's mother-in-law. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. We were in Israel, and our tour guide, Avi, he showed us the house where it's believed was Peter's home there. And he said, do you know why Peter denied the Lord 3 times? And we said, no. And he said, it's because of this passage right here. He never forgave Jesus for healing his mother-in-law. But I'm not sure if that's true or not. But for mother-in-laws in the room, we love you all right? I don't think that's true. But that's the context of the story there. So Jesus, finishing the Sermon on the Mount, he comes and he heals the leper. And then a centurion, if you go to Luke 7, we're told that the centurion, in fact, didn't even think he was worthy to come to Jesus, and he sent some Jewish leaders to come bring the message. But the centurion brings the request to Jesus, and Jesus says, I'll come to your house and heal him. And he says, I'm not worthy of that. Just speak the word only. And Jesus says an interesting verse. He highlights this man's faith really in a way that he doesn't highlight any other faith that we find recorded in Scripture, in the Gospels especially. And I want us to look today, what are the characteristics from this passage of next level faith? What constitutes a faith that amazes Jesus? By the way, I want to have next level faith, don't you? I want to be growing in my faith, in my reliance, in my belief, in my trust in God. I don't want the longer that I'm a Christian, the more to believe I can do this on my own. And the longer I'm a Christian to believe I've got this one figured out. And I've preached now hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times. I can do this one in my own strength. I can figure this one. No, I want to be able to know. I want to depend upon him more, to trust in him more, to know him more. What are the characteristics of next level faith? Number one, I see in verse number 6, next level faith leads us to care for others above ourselves. It leads us to care for others above ourselves. Notice what it said there in verse number 6. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Here's a man that's in charge of a lot of people, and he didn't let his authority go to his head. It was, you know what? Someone that I care for, someone that serves me is sick. I want to care for them. Next level faith says, this whole thing of life is not about me. It's about others. God, how can you use me to help others? And may I ask us this morning, how much of your life and mine is spent doing anything in service or generosity to impact the life of someone else? Next level faith, Jesus, what did he come? He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the call to be a Christian? The call to be a Christian is to serve, is to love, is to impact. But it's so easy for life to become all about me. For my time to all turn inward. My budget to all turn inward. My schedule to all turn inward. My priorities to all turn inward, to my comfort, my needs, my pleasure. And what happens here? What do I see about a faith? I don't know all the reasons why Jesus said that he hadn't found any faith like this in Israel, but I see in this passage one thing that was a part of what Jesus called next level faith was a man that cared for others more than himself. He had one opportunity here to ask Jesus of something, and what did he do? He used that opportunity to try to help one of his servants. A convicting quote that I've read, if all of your prayers were answered, would it change the world or would it just change your world? If all of my prayers were answered, would it change? God, would you meet these needs and pay these bills and give me that promotion at work? And it's okay to pray those things. Bible says in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You can pray for your own needs, but is that all you pray for? It's not wrong to meet the needs of your family. If you don't provide for your own, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. But is that the only person you provide for? Is that the only person you try to meet needs for is you and your family? The next level faith will lead us to look outward. I love the fact Friday night, I had one of the men tell me this morning, boy, that was such an encouraging, refreshing time. We had a great crowd of men here on Friday night for a men's prayer meeting. And they gave their Friday night to pray, and we prayed for our church from 9 to midnight. We prayed for people in this church. We prayed for many of you. We prayed for unsaved coworkers, and we prayed for our missionaries, and we prayed for some of your children and for our ministries. We prayed for our country. What is that? I believe what that is that someone saying, and a group of men, and that's not a guilt trip if you were not able to make it on Friday night. I realize everybody has different things, but there was a group of men there that were saying, what? I can give of some of my time because I believe that prayer works. My faith says I can make a difference in someone's life by praying for them, by serving them, by giving to them. Great faith we see in this passage leads to great compassion. Great faith leads us to great unselfishness. Great faith leads us to great love. The story is told of the late Colonel Sanders of KFC fame. It's a little dangerous to give restaurant illustrations at 10:45 on Sunday morning because now all you're going to be thinking about is Kentucky Fried Chicken. How many of you that sounds good right about now? A little KFC. The story is told of Colonel Sanders. He was on an airplane and an infant began screaming and crying. You ever been on the airplane with that same baby? I've been on that plane a few times. In fact, my baby has been that baby a few times. And the mom tried everything she could to quiet the baby. The flight attendants tried to help the baby, and the passengers, as normally happens, everybody's kind of glancing over there and, you know, give them their dirty looks and the evil eyes. And why would they fly with them anyways? Oh, man, why? And everybody was kind of upset and frustrated. Why? Because they were being inconvenienced. And the story is told that Colonel Sanders finally asked if he could hold the baby. And he gently rocked the baby to sleep. And later, a passenger came up to Colonel Sanders and said, I just want to let you know, we all appreciate what you did for us. You know what Colonel Sanders replied? He said, I didn't do it for us. I did it for the baby. And isn't that interesting? Same situation in life, but we view everything about our comfort, don't we? Everything about what can make our lives better. And what did he say? Oh, I wasn't worried about my inconvenience. I felt compassion that that baby was having a rough flight. In your life and in mine, great faith leads us to care for others above ourselves. Next level faith will be outwardly focused. I read a pastor this week that said a lack of generosity indicates a loss of awe for God's grace. That's a powerful statement. When we lose sight of all that we've been given, we naturally become less giving. We naturally, we start to live for ourselves when we fail to realize all that we've been given. Our faith should lead us to be more loving, more giving, more compassionate, to care for others above ourselves. What else do we find in this story? Secondly, we see that next level faith leads you to see who you really are and who Jesus really is. Notice it in verse 7. Jesus said in verse 7, I will come and heal him. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I want to remind us, a centurion was a man of great authority. We see that later in the passage, because he says, I have people under authority, and I tell them go, and they go. I tell them to come, and they come. I tell them to do this, and they do it. This was a man that was used to being obeyed. This was a man that was used to being able to say, hey, go do, and he uses that as an illustration. I know you don't have to come to my house because I can get things done on the battlefield and I don't have to go to the battlefield. I tell this soldier to go do that and it gets done. And what he's saying, and this is interesting because here's a man that easily could have been lifted. He was used to everybody saluting him everywhere that he went. He was used to, he had people that went to meet his needs. This is who he was. And we think, well, he's talking to Jesus. Of course, you're going to say that. In this moment, he's talking to a fairly unknown, homeless, traveling teacher. That's who he's talking to. Jesus is just beginning his earthly ministry. He's just finished the Sermon on the Mount. Now, he's already attracted some multitudes of people. I don't want to say he was unknown, but relatively unknown. Homeless traveling teacher without, and by the way, was not highly respected of the elite ruling class for any time in his life here. And what did the centurion realize? I might have 100 people under me and he only has 12, but he's the one with authority. I might have all the nice armor and the nice outfits, and he might have sandals and a robe, but he's the one I need to be submitting to. I might have a really nice place to stay, and I might have nice quarters, and he doesn't have a pillow where to lay his head, but I understand who he is, and I understand who I am. I'm not even worthy for him to come to my house. Next level faith says, you know what? I'm really not that big of a deal. He must increase, I must decrease. Don't we do the opposite so often? Let me build myself up and look at what I've done and look at this and look at me and look at all that I've accomplished. And when we really, you know, if you ever think that you're a big deal, just go ahead and go to Google Earth and pull it out a little ways from where you live and realize we're just a little speck. Now, to God, we are a big deal. God loves us greatly. But in the whole scheme of things, you and I really aren't all that much. And next level faith causes us to realize who I really am. And anything that I have, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. It's all because of his grace. And anything that I have, it's because God's given me the ability to get wealth. And if God's given you great wisdom and you're a really smart professor or teacher or business leader, whatever it might be, you know what that is? God gave you that gift and God gave you that mind. Great faith realizes no matter how much I achieve, it's because of him. And it gives God the glory. I'm not worthy for you to come unto my house. We like to lift up our name and boast in our authority. Next level faith says, he must increase, I must decrease. I'm nothing, he's everything. Number three, next level faith leads you to understand the power of God's word. The end of verse number 8, what does he say? But speak the word only. All I need is your word. I understand the power of my word as a military leader, the centurion says. How much stronger is the power of your word as the Messiah? I understand when I say something, those under me are under my authority, they snap to it. I say jump, they say how high. And I understand my power is nothing compared to the power of your word, Jesus. Speak the word only. Your word has great power. All I need is your word. Number four, what does next level faith do for us? Number four, it leads to a relationship with a person, not a reliance on a religion. A relationship with a person, not a reliance on a religion. Notice what he says in verse 10. He said, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." What's that a reference to? What's Israel full of? Religious people. What's Israel full of? Men of faith. Those that glory in their faith. Those that have some of the most orthodox, strong faith people at this time. That's what Jesus, he said, "I've been through Israel, and Israel is filled with some of the most religious people out there. Those that dress right, those that look right, those that keep all the commandments, those that eat the right things, those that decorate their house the right ways, those that take the right number of steps on the Sabbath, those that know not to eat lobster and not to eat bacon, those that know all these things." Israel's filled with a whole bunch of people that their lives are, everything about their lives is all about how their faith has made them good. And he says, "You know what? I've not found a faith like this anywhere in Israel." People surrounded by, in Israel, people, a country filled with people of faith. And he says that religion is not what next level faith leads to. Now, a relationship with Christ will change us. The love of Christ constraineth us. A relationship with Christ will change for some of us the ways that we think and the words that we say and maybe some of the things that we eat or drink and some of the ways that we dress and some of the places that we go. A relationship with Christ will change those things, but it's from the inside out. It doesn't start, we change those things to get a relationship with Christ. And he says here, "I've not found a faith like this, no, not in Israel." What is he saying? Here's someone who understands the power of a relationship with me, understands my personal power, not the power in a system of religion. And if we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap of finding our identity in a system of religion. No, our identity is in a person in Christ. Next level faith says, "I want to grow in my relationship with Christ. I don't want to climb the hierarchy of some religious ladder. I'm not looking to climb some to the next level of some religious where I start off and I'm down here and then I move up to be a usher and then I move up to be a Sunday school teacher and then I move up to be a whatever and there is no hierarchy. Then I become a nursery worker and then I become a choir member and then if I get really lucky, then I can become a whatever." It's not about this isn't some career path. This is a relationship. And he says, "I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." What was that? That was a condemnation on a whole bunch of religious people that thought they were close to God because of their religious allegiances. And Jesus says, "This guy, he gets it." And then lastly, what does next level faith do? Verse 13, it leads to great works in our lives. "And Jesus saith unto the centurion, Go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please him. But it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." When you and I extend great faith to God, God is honored by faith. God is attracted to faith. When we trust him, God honors that faith. When we step out, "Draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you." God works in our lives in great ways as we, what does he say? He told them, "If you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you say this mountain." What is he saying? Faith in our lives leads to God's great working. Faith is what leads to salvation. Faith is what leads to eternal life. Faith is what leads to forgiveness of sins. Faith, God blesses, honors, and works through our faith. Believing him when we don't understand and we don't know how it's all going to turn out, God honors that when we trust him. Don't we do the same with our children? What do we say sometimes when they have a million questions about something? What do we say? Just trust me. Don't we say that? Son, I got it all figured out. Honey, we've got it all figured out. Just what? Trust me. Don't we say that to our kids? And when they trust us, what do we want to show them? Mom and dad had it all figured out. You had nothing to worry about. And by the way, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give good gifts to them that ask him. If we know how to take care of some things for our kids, just trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know where we're going. I know what's happening. I've got it all under control, honey. But yet we do the same thing, don't we? God, are you sure you got this one? Are you sure you know where you're going? Are we on the right track? And what does God say? I think he says to us sometimes, son, daughter, just trust me. I've got it all figured out. God has not been taken by surprise by anything in your life. I think we have a drawing of this missionary George Patton. In the 1800s, the first two Scottish missionaries sent to the New Hebrides Islands were killed and eaten by cannibals on the day they arrived. He was not one of those. Understandably, after that event, it proved difficult to get anybody else to volunteer to be missionaries to go to the New Hebrides Islands. But John Patton was different. He eventually agreed to go, believing God was leading him. But even after he'd agreed to go, well-meaning people in the church tried to dissuade him. One elderly man warned him that he would be eaten by cannibals. Here's Patton's reply. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, by the way, great faith leads us to care about the needs of others more than our own. We said that first. And he said, if I can live and die but serving, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. By the way, he arrived, and on the first day, he was not eaten by cannibals. And after 15 years of fruitful ministry, almost everyone on the island of Aniwa, where Patton ministered, was converted. What does great faith do for us? It leads us to care for others above ourselves. It leads us to see who we really are and who Jesus really is. Jesus is worthy of me, and if it means I die by being eaten by cannibals or by worms, I'm nothing. He's everything. It leads us to understand the power of God's word. It leads to a relationship with a person, not a reliance on a religion. And it leads to great works in our lives. Church family, serving God is not a guarantee of an easy life. But we are called to a life of service, even if it means giving up everything as Patton did. So I ask us this morning, how's our faith? How's our humility? Have you started to believe your own press? Well, I'm pretty important. How's your compassion? How's your relationship with the Word? How's your walk with God? Has your faith, like mine at times has been, become a weekly religious routine rather than a daily relationship? Let me ask that again. Has your faith become a weekly religious routine rather than a daily relationship? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Come to him this morning by faith if you don't. We show faith in all kinds of things every day in our lives, don't we? You showed faith in that pew when you sat down today. When you go home or to a restaurant, you'll show faith in every chair you sit in. You believe it's going to hold you up. And America's Funniest Home Videos shows us that faith is sometimes misplaced. The chair doesn't always stay up. We show faith in the airplane builders, and we show faith in the bank every time we deposit a check there. We show faith in our employer when we work for 2 weeks before we get the paycheck. We show faith in our fellow man every time we press the gas pedal at a green light, trusting that they're going to stop at the red light. Your day is made up all day long of you showing faith, believing things you cannot see. How's your faith in the greatest object, the one who has never failed? We show faith in things that will fail us all the time. How is your faith in the one, the creator of the universe, the one who is always reliable and dependable? My challenge to us on this second Sunday morning of 2020 is, let's strive to have a next level faith that changes our lives, our activities, our budgets, our schedules, our priorities, our service, our love, our giving, our families, and our lives.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.